The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two on this Wednesday, day five, social distancing. That's what we're practicing on this show. I'm representing the south side of town. Darren McFarland here. Willie Donick over on the east side. Chase McCabe holding down the fort on the west side of town. Elijah Campbell back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We always enjoy our conversations with our next guy, Tim Brando, on the line with us, Fox Sports. Tim, how you doing?
Darren, given the circumstances, as well as could be expected, Willie, Chase, it's good to be with all of you. You're sort of, I think the way you're having to do your show is sort of embodies the direction everyone in our industry has been forced to go. So hang in there.
Yeah, I mean, you've been at this, Tim, for a long time. You've seen a lot of stuff. You've seen is this the most unique spot you've ever been in the sports world?
Yeah, you know, I was calling that last game that was played in college basketball in March at Madison Square Garden when it was called at halftime, and even the 2008 tornado hitting the Georgia Dome in Atlanta, which was up until this time the most bizarre setting and set of circumstances that I had faced as a commentator of sports live. We had to shift and pivot and go into really news coverage because we had a news event taking place. But it was isolated. You know, it was a disastrous situation that we had in downtown Atlanta and was going to impact the way the course of the SEC championship would play out. That was 12 years ago. We're all, I think, it's a reminder, I think, of those of us that are in the sports business of, you know, the live event situation is always going to be impacted by the circumstances of your surroundings. And that was certainly true at Madison Square Garden. The major difference here is it was affecting the entire country, not just an isolated area in downtown Atlanta. At a difficult set of circumstances in 2015 doing a football game in Stillwater. It was homecoming, and Spencer Tillman and I, instead of taking our car in 3 hours early, we had to walk because there had been a huge tragedy during the parade that they had for homecoming. A lady went through barricades and killed three people in a homecoming parade in Stillwater. And wow. We didn't know if we would play that game, but we had to open the telecast with an obituary, which I had never expected to be a part of when doing a live event. So, you know, there are those isolated incidents during a four-decade career that you're going to have to face, and certainly the one most recently was bizarre, and we had to be mindful of what was going on at other places like Nashville, like Greensboro, like Indianapolis, where other conference tournaments were going on. And just as we tipped off, I was surprised that we were, and my tone had to be signaling that. But it was very obvious after one half, even though the game was great. I mean, the game was really great. The teams played very well. St. John's might have been on their way to kind of a miracle run, really. They had won the night before in comeback fashion. And they were beating the number one seed at halftime. But that paled in comparison to what I thought were really bad optics for the Big East. And ultimately, they knew that, and they called it after one half's play.
We had, Tim, we had Joe Fisher on yesterday, the play-by-play voice of Vanderbilt, and, of course, he was calling the last game, you know, in Nashville Wednesday night. Vanderbilt and Arkansas was the last game. Of course, they would never tip on Thursday, and he kind of walked through with us just the mood in the building when they announced at halftime there wasn't going to be fans the next day, and people booed, people left, and just kind of the stuff that was going around, kind of like what you were doing in – at MSG, you're doing a game, you're working, but yet you're also trying to find out from people what's going on around you. So what was that dynamic like that morning of you trying to concentrate on doing your job, yet you're also trying to listen to, you know, people with the Big East and people you have to talk to, and what are they doing? Is this game going to happen?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, other games were canceled. How did that work?
Well, you know, when you've been around as long as I have, Willie, it helps, and it helps that people know you and trust you, and they'll share things with you. Rick Gentile, who was an associate commissioner for Val Ackerman of the Big East, was there, as was Stu Jackson. Val, I think, was on the phone constantly dealing with Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York. At that particular time, in New York, the situation was not as grave as a situation as they face now. It was more isolated in Westchester County around New Rochelle. And this for the Big East. Now, remember, this is a basketball-only league, 10 private schools and a basketball-only league. So this really is their Super Bowl. You know, this is their major event all year long on the athletic calendar. And I think they were, like every one of the conferences, sort of living on an island because of the decision that had been made by Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, which I thought was really, really mistimed and really unfortunate that he would make the announcement he did before the tournaments got underway on Wednesday. You know, they're open for business, all of these conferences. And then he says, okay, we're going to have the NCAAs just without any people there. And he never talked to Greg Sankey. He never talked to Val Ackerman. He never talked to John Swofford. There should have been a uniform decision made by everyone involved in NCAA tournament play and all the NCAA membership. Should have been on a conference call with Mark Emmert long before we opened the doors for any of these conference tournaments. And none of that happened. And I got some very frank, candid comments from the people that mattered in the Big East as we were getting underway with the tournament. So after the decision was made by Adam Silver in the NBA on that very night, on Wednesday night, that was really, I think, the modus operandi for the reaction that you saw by all of the conferences in terms of what they were going to do, okay, in terms of, you know, limited access. But I think that what the NCAA president had done had undercut the conference commissioners in many ways. You know, they should have been informed, and they should have been able to make a consensus decision, and none of that happened. But so they were left to sort of fend for themselves. And I know in the case of the ACC, because I've had conversations with Sean McDonough, who's a dear friend of mine, and he was getting ready to do that Florida State game that morning, the first game at noon, which was scheduled to be on at the same time as my game. They thought they were playing, and they thought they were playing up until the final warm-ups. And then John Swofford, who had held a news conference at 10:30 in the morning saying, we're playing, but it's going to be limited access. We're not even an hour and a half later, okay, like an hour and 10 minutes later, he's walking out, taking the PA microphone and saying that they're calling it off, and here's why. So mixed messages were all over the place. But I talked with both Mike Anderson, the coach of St. John's, McDermott at Creighton. Both knew, hey, we got to play, and both probably were wondering why they had to play. You know, like, okay, if this is the decision, this is what we're going to do. But I think they felt as I felt. Are we sure about this? Do we need to be doing this? But once the game got underway, you know, we as broadcasters have a product that we need to document. And, we do a lot of basketball games, and we see sometimes a lot of rock fights and games that are not necessarily aesthetically fun to watch. This game was a hell of a fun game to watch. It was a walk-on kid playing for Zigarowski, who was out with a knee injury, and this kid's having a career first half. Three assists, 8 points. He's hit two threes and a teardrop, and this kid's a walk-on named Jet Canfield. I'll never forget how badly I felt for him that his best game is not even part of the record books. He'll just have he'll have an old DVR, I guess, to show of himself to his grandkids one day because he was playing so well at the world's most famous arena. But listen, the right decisions were made ultimately, but I think that the point that I was trying to make then, and I'll make to you now, even with the knowledge that this pandemic was something that was much worse than even we knew back then, the way we got to those decisions, okay, is once again proof of how screwed up we are in not getting the kind of leadership and governance that is necessary for intercollegiate athletics moving forward. Everyone should be informed. And at the very top, and in this case, it does. You know, in college football, it's not about the NCAA. They don't have any control of it. They really don't. They police it, and they sanction bowl games, but they have no control over college football. College basketball is their baby. You know, the NCAA men's basketball tournament, a billion-dollar deal, funds 80% of the non-revenue producing sports, and it's their baby. So there should have been transparency between their office and all of the other conferences, and it was not to be found.
We're talking to the great Tim Brando. He calls games now for Fox Sports, but he goes back decades with different networks. And Tim, you know, I know CBS showed some of the classic games on Saturday and Sunday. Sunday was more of a recent times, and Saturday they went back to the 80s and 90s. And you've done a lot of great games. I'm sure if you scoured YouTube, anybody that wanted to do it, you could find a lot of great Tim Brando games. You're like, wow, Tim Brando was on the call for that one. You've done so many, Tim, and some of these are going to circulate, right, over the next few weeks. We're not going to have any live games for a while here. If you had to pick one or two of the most fun games that you called, whether it's the NCAA tournament or college football games, what comes to mind for you that you might see pop up here?
Well, you know, I've just in the last few days, I guess because there's not anything that's happening now, we're all trying to find it. You know, if you're a sports fan, you're
right,
scouring the internet. You know, you're like, please let me find. And I actually found myself doing the same thing last week as well. My contention has always been that, and not because, you know, I never got to call a Final Four, but I did call some regional finals. And one of the great ones, and I worked with Al McGuire when I did it for a couple of years, and I had Rhode Island coming from 6 points down with less than a minute to play to beat Stanford. Stanford comes from six down with less than a minute to play to beat Rhode Island in St. Louis. And Arthur Lee and Mark the Mad Dog Madsen, who later became a Laker and is now a GM, as you know, and is very involved in basketball, got a slam dunk and an and-one on a foul and helped bring them back. And it's really an amazing victory. And Al's out there dancing with the Stanford tree in the post-game. I'll never forget that. Just being able to work with the great Al McGuire was such a thrill for me. That was in 1998. That's the first one that jumps out for me, largely because of Al and having grown up in our business, wanting to be like Dick Enberg with Al McGuire and Billy Packer. And I wanted to be in a position to one day say that I'd worked with all the icons. And I truly, after I worked with Al, and that's 98, so that's 22 years ago, so I'm 42 at that time, and I had achieved in my own mind, you know, I had achieved the kind of greatness that I expected for myself, to be able to work with Al McGuire and Billy Packer, and, you know, to start my career at ESPN with Dick Vitale in 85, my first game that I ever did, Duke and Virginia in January of 85. I was only 29 then, so I thought to myself it was a seminal moment for me as a broadcaster to be with Al. So that jumped out at me when we were kind of looking back, and then to have had the opportunity to do so many incredible buzzer beaters in NCAA tournament play. In 2002, a kid wearing the number 23 that loved Michael Jordan is playing in Jordan's place at the United Center in Chicago. And Eddie Fogler and I were doing the game, and Terry Taylor hit a buzzer beater to beat Florida in an opening round game for Dana Altman, who was coaching. That was an incredible moment. And it was a Jordan-like shot, you know. He had that Jordan pose at the end of the shot, and he was wearing the number 23 because that was his hero. And he's playing in Chicago. That's one. An incredible game that Mike Jaminski and I had in 2010. Michigan State's playing Maryland. Gravis Vasquez is playing. He's the ACC Player of the Year for Gary Williams against a Michigan State team with Draymond Green, Delvon Rowe. Lucas, their guard, had gotten hurt. So a kid named Corey Lucius, who actually transferred the following year, had an opportunity to win the game. Vasquez has a driving basket with 6 seconds left, 6.6 seconds left. There are no timeouts, so the ball stays in motion. Neither team had any timeouts. So Michigan State goes down to the other end of the floor, and Draymond Green throws a pass at about the just to the left of the top of the key, throws a pass to Corey Lucius. Delvon Rowe's head is in his way. Delvon Rowe couldn't have been more than 3 feet from Draymond when he made the pass. Thank God Delvon ducked his head, because if he doesn't, you know, his head gets knocked off by the ball. But Lucius gets it, one bounce, and I'll never forget, you know, Draymond Green finds Corey Lucius at the buzzer for the win. Boom, he got it, and Michigan State off to the Sweet 16. That one stands out to me. And probably wow. The other one, we had two of them, really, for Butler in 2011. Kid by the name of Howard. There was Hayward and Howard, you might recall, on that team. Everyone remembers Hayward because he went on to an outstanding NBA career in Boston and beyond. But they beat Old Dominion in an 8-9 game on a tip-in by Howard after a clear-out on a 1-4 set by a point guard by the name of Van Zant. Van Zant misses it. Howard comes in on the weak side, tips it in at the buzzer to beat Old Dominion. In the following game, their second round, they're playing Pitt. Pitt was the number one seed in that region. So it's a 9 seed versus a 1 seed, probably Jamie Dixon's best team. And Howard does the same thing, same play. Van Zant runs the same play, tips it in, weak side again with about 5 seconds left. But then there's a foul by Butler and sends Pittsburgh to the line with a chance to win it. They're only down one. And there is a foul, a basket interference. There is a lane violation on one free throw, then a shot, a make, and then on the following shot, there's another foul. This time it's on Pitt. So with 1.9 seconds left, we saw the game won and then lost by Butler, and then won and lost by Pitt in 1.9 seconds because of two fouls in the lane for free throws. And there was a lot of controversy over it. I remember John Adams was in charge of officiating. He had to come on with Barkley and all the TNT guys that were in the studio at CBS to explain the bizarre ruling on it. And the foul, too, was somewhat controversial. And they went on and on about it. And I'll never forget Mike Jaminski and I were like, can you believe this? We've just seen this game won and lost, and won and lost twice by both teams. And the clock never moved from 1.9 seconds.
Boy, you just can't. You can't beat the drama of the NCAA tournament. So
no,
Tim, what comes to mind?
That was in Washington in 2011.
So let me ask this as a guy that does play by play myself, and of course I'm now way more into hockey. I've done some basketball, but and we just by the way we just had Coach Fogler on the show the other day to talk about the
Monday.
82.
Yeah,
final.
Love Eddie.
Oh, he is the man.
Great.
But let me ask you this, Tim. You just described buzzer beaters. As an announcer, what goes through your mind to want to get the moment right? Because those moments live forever, right? We can find these YouTube moments throughout the years, and as an announcer, you know you always want to get that call right. So how did you go through the fundamentals of wanting to get that moment right?
Well, at the end of every game, knowing the circumstances that you're looking at, you see from time to time these game summaries coming out of commercial breaks. I tell young broadcasters this all the time. Forget all your stories. Forget all the backlog. Forget all the anecdotal material. It's just about the game. Do not take your focus away from the game. You better know with, a minute left, but certainly with 10, 12, 13, 15 seconds left, in a tie ball situation, who has the alternating possession? How many timeouts are left for both teams? If there are any fouls to give, you better know how many fouls there are to give, because that's running through the minds of coaches, whether to give a foul or not give a foul, because the team might be in the double bonus or may not be in the bonus at all, if you're under 16 fouls. You need to know all those things. Keep that in your head all at the same time. And just in the basics of fundamentals, up against the clock, the thing you most want to do is identify the shooter before the shot is in the basket. So make sure you've identified the shooter before the ball is actually, leaving the tips of his hand. And then while the ball is in the air, you want to be able to say what's at stake with that shot. If it's for the tie, for the win, you need to make sure you say that before that ball goes in the basket, because when it goes in, all that matters is that you shut the hell up and let the crowd and the emotions of the moment breathe and lay out for as long as you can, or until the network says, okay, the game's over, we got to get an interview, or okay, the game's over, we got to throw it to L.A. or New York or wherever your studio is to get reaction from there. Nothing else should be said after you have said what was at stake before that ball went through the hoop.
We're talking to Tim Brando of Fox Sports. Yeah, excellent answer. And it's fun to hear those moments. So Barrett Sports Media did this bracket of the Sports Center anchors, a round of 64. Now, unfortunately, Tim, there was not a 12-5 upset, as you were defeated by Reese Davis in the first round. We were pulling for you. But looking back on your time at ESPN and with SportsCenter, I mean, we all know how that show took off in the 90s. But what are some of your fond memories of hosting SportsCenter?
Well, by the way, I don't have I don't hold my head in shame losing to Reese. He's great at what he does. He's great at what he does. And I never fashioned myself, even when I was at ESPN, I never fashioned myself as a SportsCenter anchor. That was not my goal at any point in time. It served me well. Being a SportsCenter anchor served me well in terms of visibility. Also, in terms of having to be concise, and I don't also think of myself as a great writer, but I think I can write when I need to. And I learned, I think, more about writing for sports television because of my involvement with SportsCenter. So I'm very proud of the time I spent there. But I will tell you that at that time in my career, I was the first guy ever hired to do SportsCenter that was allowed to call games. Willie knows this because I was out and about doing games in the late 80s and 90s, and some of those games involved teams at Vanderbilt that he holds near and dear, and to those that were before him when Barry Booker and others were playing. But I was always just jumping to get the hell out of Bristol, while I was there. But I will tell you that what Barrett Sports Media did, I thought was really fun. I thought it was a great idea. I was actually surprised to be included as one that was remembered as a SportsCenter anchor because, like I said, I never fashioned myself as being that or even being capable of making the top 64. So there's a generation and a half, really. What is a generation? 25 years, right? I haven't done it. The last time I did a SportsCenter was in the summer of 1989. So that's a long, long time ago. So just to be remembered as one that was worthy of getting a 12 seed, I guess was okay with me. But I just think the idea that he had with doing the brackets on it was really fun. And I think that anything that we do that's like that in the media to get people to talk and And I'm sure a lot of people that were voting were like, I didn't know Brando did that. Brando did that? You know, that kind of thing. So,
hey, I remember, but Tim. I remember those days.
But Reese is he's a real pro's pro, one of my real good friends in the business today.
Yeah, I remember my TV was a lot fuzzier back then when you were doing Sports Center, Tim. I know that.
I didn't have to wear – hey, listen, I didn't have to wear as much makeup in those days, A, because I didn't have as many bags under my eyes as I do now, and B, because now with HD, my God, if you've got – in when I was 29, I may have still had some acne, you know, that I had to cover up. I mean, that's a long, long time ago. I got there as a – you know, I'm not – I'm just 30 years old at that time, so – look, I think that all of my memories of the time I spent in Bristol are really, really good. I've always embraced my history there. I've also been honest and transparent about why I left. I could not. My wife and I were young. Our oldest baby was 4 years old when we moved there, and I married a Southern girl from my hometown, and geez, it was as happy as I was to work there. For us, it was just miserable not living in the South. And the first opportunity I got, which was with my next contract, my goal was to re-up with ESPN so that I could continue to call games. And if they wanted me to do some studio work after I stopped doing game day, that's fine. But just fly me in to do it, which ultimately they did do for three more years. I worked there from 1990 to 94, but I was able to build a home in my hometown and really set the foundation for my career and set some parameters, really, that I could live in my hometown and be able to do what I get to do for a living. I mean, that is a dream come true. So a lot of guys there that went on to stellar careers. Chris Fowler, who ultimately became the icon of college football there. He doesn't live in Bristol anymore. Mike Tirico, who was the guy that originally stepped in to replace me doing the halftimes and between games on college football, he lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan now and is working for NBC. So a lot of guys are doing now what I did that I started when I left. Fowler actually jokes with me that I was the Kurt Flood of anchors at ESPN, that I was the first to challenge the reserve clause of talent not being able to live in Bristol, Connecticut. So I look back on all those times and tell you that I became a better broadcaster for having been there, and I really do mean that. I think the discipline of anchoring and having to do so many different things. I call 26 different sports there. You know, if ever there was a bizarre, obscure sport in the Olympic Festival that we used to do annually in the summers, you know, I got to do it. Everything from PKA karate, which I think has morphed into, you know, UFC to some extent now, or MMA, if you want to call it that. I did that. I did top rank boxing. I did bowling. I did some sports that I never even thought were sports, to be honest with you. And I wouldn't have had that opportunity had I not been at ESPN in those days.
Wow. Good stuff, as awesome. Always, Tim. Thanks for spending some time with us. You be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road, hopefully when we get back
you,
to
fellas.
Normal
and
activities.
Just keep on keeping on, and we'll get out of this at some point, and sports will return. And when it does, we'll have a revival.
I like
of
it.
Sorts. It may not ever be completely the same, but boy, oh boy, will the anticipation of getting it back be magnificent.
Yeah, amen to that. Thanks for doing this, Tim.
You bet.
Tim Brando, always good to catch up with him. Fox Sports. We'll come back and continue our conversation on the other side. But first, Willie, you're going to give us a word about the good folks at Lee Company.
All right, let's tell you about Lee Company, 615-567-1000. I want to thank Tim Brando. I hope everybody enjoyed that. That was just great. In these times where we're a little bit more laid back, you have a little more time to have a deep conversation like that. That was excellent stuff. But Lee Company is along for this period of time. We know we're going through some things here. Lee Company is right there with you, 615-567-1000, with all the services that they provide, especially on your house, you know, your air conditioning, your heating, your plumbing, your electric service, then that is the home maintenance plan, the four areas that you need running efficiently to run your household properly. And you pay a monthly fee, which is a very small fee, 10, 12 bucks a month. And in exchange for that, you get the four phone calls. So you're on top of it. You don't even have to think about it. They'll call you, and they'll come out and check those areas to make sure things are running efficiently. We know that the air conditioner is going to start cranking up here on a daily basis sooner than later. So make sure you've got it running properly. 615-567-1000. Give them a call or go online at leecompany.com for all of their great services. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Say big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.